Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to another edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by you, the fans. You can find us on the Facebooks, the Twitters, the YouTubes. I promise I'll update the channel this week. You can find us, search Saints Happy Hour Podcast on any social media, and you'll find us except for Instagram because we're a podcast. What the fuck does pictures have to do with anything? So, me and Andrew talked to an actual Saints player, Natrell Jamerson. He was a great interview. We'll have that later, a little about 25 minutes. It was fantastic. Andrew, we talked about very important things like Post Malone, his favorite order at Potbelly's. What else did we talk about? His touchdown celebration. We talked about really important
things. He went through Falcons hatred boot camp.
Yeah. Like, we talked about, like, okay, hardcore football shit, like zones, yeah, and fire blitzes and all that. No, but Andrew did ask him some legitimate...
We did talk about some three safety package stuff.
Yeah, we did. We talked a little bit legitimate football. So we'll have that in 20 minutes. So, 3 weeks, gentlemen. 3 weeks away from Saints training camp starting. The World Cup's helped me get through it. NBA free agency. LeBron just made the Western Conference a nightmare. So, Dave, are you surviving? Do you see the light at the end of the tunnel of the dark off season?
I was surprised when you just said 3 weeks till training camp. That makes it seem really close. I wasn't even thinking it was that close. So
the veterans doesn't
seem so bad when you put it that way.
Well, we're in July and there's preseason games in August.
I know. I think I'll be fine. We're actually going on vacation next week to New York for a little bit. So that knocks out one of those weeks.
And, are you ever not on vacation?
I don't know what that means. I never take vacations. I own my own business. What the hell is that? What does that even mean?
I don't know. I just feel like I remember pictures from Florida and pictures. Well, I don't know.
That was like a Memorial Day weekend getaway. And this isn't even a vacation. This is just me going home to see my family and friends. This isn't like I'm going to be on a beach or anything like that or drinking.
Sounds like a vacation to me.
Drinking fruity tropical drinks with umbrellas in them, because that's my definition of a vacation.
Yeah, like I went to Disney,
yeah, so
World. Okay, that's not really
a vacation.
I'm trying
to sell my house too,
like,
so that's keeping me extra.
My house.
So, you know, we're continuing our preview. We should have stretched out the preview long. We should have started them earlier. I didn't realize we only had three more weeks till training camp because we got to go. So this week, we're doing the Saints receivers, but we're doing like receivers and tight ends together. I argue with people online. People love the Saints receivers, Andrew, and I'm like, really? You got Michael Thomas and a bunch of... Bleh. I mean, it could all work out great, but like... You got Ginn, who is he going to have another career year? You got a dude with a busted up knee. You got a rookie. You got an 800-year-old tight end you're bringing back. Like, this group, like, I don't, it's not bad. It's just not, like, when I think of this roster, I don't think, wow, wide receiver's fucking loaded.
Well, I mean, am I talking about tight end and receiver in tandem?
Well, you could start with, I mean, just as a receiving overall as a group, but I mean, you can break it up if you want.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'll just mention this real quickly about tight end first. I mean, to me, that's the one big disappointment of the offseason. I was really excited, of course, about Jimmy Graham.
You were heartbroken about Jimmy Graham. People forget about it because it's a long time ago.
I mean,
you
I really
fucking
felt like
devastated.
That was a missing piece for the offense, you know, and Breeze even said that. I mean, I remember Breeze basically saying that, yeah, we really need him. Like we probably need him now more than we needed him when we had him, you know, was kind of the comment that Breeze had. So you know, I know he's excited that Ben Watson's back, but I mean, it's just it's just not the same thing. So the big disappointment for me is tight end. I mean, they get rid of Fleener, they add Watson, and I feel like it's a whole bunch of the same. Now we'll see. You know, they've got that UDFA they really like, so
Yodler,
we'll
see if that guy.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if he can develop at all. But you know, a lot of times these guys, even if they have potential, you know, they don't make much of an impact in year one. So tight end, I would say, is one of the biggest question marks on the whole team for me positionally. You know, if Benjamin Watson can play 16 games and keep the level he's had the last several years, then sure, I'm less worried. But I don't know if he can do that at his age. So we'll see. Receiver, I feel pretty good about. I mean, first of all, you have a star in Michael Thomas, and obviously after your number one, you're going to have a drop off, but there's a lot of guys in the mix. And I think the strength of this receiving core is in its depth. I don't know that there's necessarily one guy that stands out to me as phenomenal, but I'm really excited to see Tre'Quan Smith. I'm really excited to see what Cameron Meredith can do coming back from his injury. Some real positive signs. I mean, I'm a homer, but real positive signs from Trayvon Dural so far, and he's had taken a big leap in year two, so I'm excited to see what he can do. We know Ted Ginn kind of has the deep threat ability. Brandon Coleman is a great blocker, you know, and then there's also like kind of question marks about Austin Carr. I mean, I'm not mentioning Tommy Lee Lewis because he excites me less at this point, but, you know, Austin Carr's another guy.
I forgot about Austin Carr completely.
I mean, you know, it feels like they have a lot of Manti Te'o type players. You know, it's like a bunch of like, I'm not sure I want any of these guys starting, but if they have to come in, then they're all interesting to me, you know? And so, I mean, we'll see, but I think it's very conceivable that two or three of these guys that we're kind of not expecting to do anything end up being nice surprises. And if there's anyone in the league that can make like average or pretty good receivers be awesome, it's Drew Brees and Sean Payton. Seen it with Willie Snead. We've seen it with Cook. So like bottom line for me is if any of these guys have anything, the Saints are going to find a way to utilize it. So I'm excited to see what these guys can do, and I'm hopeful.
Dave, I was just thinking as Andrew was talking, but now people we forgot about that were on the team. I was thinking for my preview column for WWL, I can create a take so flaming hot that it can melt the internet. And here it is. Playoff Josh Hill is real, and it's spectacular, and he's going to catch 80 balls.
He's like Rondo?
Yeah. It's like playoff Josh Hill, but he's going to translate it to regular season Josh Hill. And he's going to catch 80 balls. Happening. What do you think about that, Dave?
I think you're an idiot. I think you're an idiot, and you should keep your thoughts to yourself.
Now's the time to use the crazy pills soundbite.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Let me see.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
There you go.
Well done. Great. Good quick timing there.
Good quick timing.
Or no, yeah. You could play the "It's not a lie if you believe it."
I don't have that on the board, unfortunately. I messed that up. But Dave,
in all seriousness, though, would be very, very shocked to see Josh Hill put together those kind of numbers and that kind of performance over the long-term course of a season.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Saints let Willie Snead walk. I don't think they're doing that unless they feel great about what they have.
Dave, what's the
question mark is like Ted Ginn Jr. Like what kind of second year with the Saints is he going to have? I mean, is he going to continue to be a really good veteran guy who can actually come through for you and be a go-to guy for Drew Brees like he was last year, very surprisingly? Or is he going to go back to the Ted Ginn that we remember with the Panthers?
Who we were totally cool with having. Like, we were totally cool when they signed him. We're like, yeah, that's going to be fun. It's going to be Ted Ginn. He's going to catch 45, 50 balls. He's going to drop about six. And it's going to be really fun.
I have a smoking hot take. I mean, just absolutely on fire. Ted Ginn will not lead the NFL in catch percentages again this year.
But seriously, I mean, you know, Cameron Meredith, we went through mini camp and whatever, OTAs, blah, 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 and everybody had very positive things to say about him and his injury and where he was in his rehab, ahead of schedule. He's going to be ready for training camp. You know, I mean, if he's your number two guy and Ted Ginn's your number three guy, assuming everybody's healthy, that is nothing to sneeze at. I think that's pretty good. And then that leaves, you know,
I think Traquan like Smith is going to be good, man. I think Traquan Smith is going to be good.
I think the biggest worry for me with receiver is, and look, injuries, any injury can like certain injuries can like wreck the Saints here, but I feel like the difference between Michael Thomas and everybody else is so wide, and this offense kind of like, he's a star, and it's become like not totally dependent upon him, but man, he's a giant chunk of it, and it's not the same old 2007, 2008, 2009 Drew Brees where you can like pull one of the receivers out and plug one of them in and it's fine, you know? Like, this is, Andrew, I feel like this offense is kind of like not as good as 2011, but 2011 was Jimmy Graham, Sproles, and Colston a little bit, but Graham and Sproles were like the engine of it. I feel like Michael Thomas, if they didn't have him for 4 weeks, they'd be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he moves the chains. And the other thing is, they've done a great job of finding ways to getting Michael Thomas the ball. And
is he elite, though,
Andrew?
Is he elite?
It's what?
Is he elite? Saints fans argue that constantly.
I think he is. I think he's elite. Yeah, I really do.
Dave,
he's an elite receiver. I mean, you know, there's this whole tier one, tier two thing that Brian goes through. But like, for me, he's a top 10 NFL receiver for sure.
Yeah,
I consider that elite.
Dave, Benjamin Watson. He is not young.
Watson,
but the dude, he caught a ton of passes from Joe Flacco. Like,
speaking of elite.
Like, if you
what was the term I used, Ralph? He was binge throwing to Ben.
He was binge throwing to Ben Watson, which is fine and it's great. But like, what's realistic for a dude that's old and has a coming off a Achilles injury from 2 years ago? Like, you know.
Well, you know what?
You can't hold an injury against him when he played last year healthy.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say. Forget the Achilles injury. He's already come back from that and shown that he's fine and can play at a high enough level. So throw the Achilles injury out the door. That's old news. You can't be submitted as evidence. He's probably going to be the
Bank
I mean,
of America.
He's going to be their leading tight end, obviously, as far as passes. Catches. He'll probably be like top three caught passes for the team, I would say. He'll be in the top three for sure.
Ooh, top three. I was going to say, will he catch twice as many passes as Josh Hill and everybody else? Saints tight ends caught combined for 28 catches last year.
I'm going to say that Deion Yelder leads the tight end group in catches this year.
No, that's a spicy take.
Yeah.
That's spicier than JDS.
Record this, and we'll play it again in January.
That's spicy. I mean,
mark it down.
That's spicier than my take of Jonah Hill catching 80 balls.
Hill.
But he's Andrew, seriously though, if you were like wagering on
Yelder could catch like 24 passes, and I could still be right. Yours
could be.
Preposterous.
He could be, but the thing is, like, he's a dark horse if you were wagering, Dave, on like training camp hero and the hype and like he's a dark horse to be on the hype train in the preseason. Like, he could have a really kick ass third quarter in that opening game and have 900 features written about him. You know?
Problem right now is it's like the Belmont Stakes, and Taysom Hill is like, you know, he's like five lengths ahead of any other horse.
Taysom Hill, you got to bet $8 to win one for the hype train, man. I got relatives calling me that are like old. They're old and they don't follow the internet. They don't really have too much of the internet. They just read the paper and they're like, man, Jeff Duncan wrote a really call him about Taysom Hill. The media really likes him. Like, what's up with this dude? And I'm like, I was like trying to explain to my cousin who Taysom Hill was. I felt like I was like trying to explain, like a 14-year-old girl trying to explain how awesome Taylor Swift was. I was just like, he's the quarterback, and he played on the special teams last year, and he ran back into kickoffs, and now he's gonna be a good quarterback. And my cousin was like, whatever, you're high. This group, Andrew, if I said to you, Ted Ginn's an interesting one because he was the best in the NFL last year, according to PFF, against off and press man coverage. So, like, where, like, I don't think he's going to have the career year he had last year, but is he going to fall all the way back to regular Ted Ginn?
I don't think so because I just think he's got really good chemistry with Breeze, and he's in an offense where, you know, you got to remember, like, Ginn has never had a good quarterback, you know, and I mean, Cam Newton was an MVP, but, like, Cam Newton is a tough guy to play with if you're a receiver, you know, and so I just think Ginn has never played with a quarterback like this before, and I kind of underestimated how well they would fit together. So I don't think he's going to have the season he had last year, and I think part of that is the Saints kind of have a lot of young, interesting receivers that could step up here, and I'm talking about Meredith and Traquan Smith primarily. Although, I mean, I'm interested to see a lot of these guys, and, you know, there always seems to be a UDFA that surprises, and they've got a couple rookie receivers besides Traquan Smith. Who knows what those guys could show? But again, I think if they're letting Willie Snead walk, I think they feel really good about this crop. And I don't think Ginn is going to have a huge drop off. I think he has the luxury of being in an offense where Breeze is the quarterback, Thomas is the number one receiver, and Kamara is in the backfield. And I think when you have such dynamic weapons like that, it allows a game breaker like Ginn to be a little bit under the radar. And that's why he's so effective in this offense.
Dave,
that'll continue.
Michael Thomas, over 102 catches. Dave, you there?
Oh, me? That was to me?
I didn't that was to you, Dave. Yeah.
Oh, all I heard you say was Michael Thomas, 102 catches.
Yeah.
Over under?
Yeah.
What did he have last year?
I think he had 104, didn't he?
104.
I mean, you're putting it
did
right.
Did I get that right?
You did.
Nice. How many did he have the year before, like 88?
92.
Yeah, I'm going to take over.
Yeah, I'll say over as well.
I mean, that's that is a monstrous year.
Like, yeah, he's still the focal point of the offense. I really don't see anyone taking catches away from him.
Yeah. He's going to be the – I mean, Jimmy Graham got – you know, they made him the highest-paid tight end. But the Saints really never paid a wide receiver, like, mega money. You know, Colston, they paid him a lot, but he never – you know, Colston was never, like, a top-five paid receiver, right? Like, Thomas, he's going to get, like, mega money. Like, he's going to want 17, 18, 19 million right after this year, you would think. Right, Andrew? I mean –
They're gonna pay him too.
Yeah, like he might be a guy they pay. It'll be interesting because the you know, Odell Beckham and other guys, like, they'll Odell Beckham will probably sign, so the market will be kind of set. I wouldn't be surprised, like, if Michael Thomas signed not obviously this year, but like going into his fourth year next year, like he'll sign, like he won't get to free agency. And they won't have to tag him because they'll get it done because going into next year don't they have like $60 million in cap space?
Yeah.
So
I mean, we've talked about this before, but you know, I mean, I think Breeze in a lot of ways made Devery Henderson, Meacham, Colston, Snead, yeah. Stills. I mean, all those guys, like Lance Moore. Like, I think if those guys are not those guys without Breeze. I take exception to that comment with Michael Thomas, and I think his expiration date obviously is long after Breeze's, and I think whoever becomes Breeze's heir, they're going to want to make that quarterback's acclimation and transition easier by having Michael Thomas to throw to. So I just think whoever comes in as the next quarterback for the Saints, they're going to want to have Michael Thomas in there to make that quarterback's life easier. And so I think this will be kind of a reverse case where, like, whoever comes in next, Michael Thomas will make that quarterback better, not the other way around that we've seen for so long.
One thing about Michael Thomas, people can argue about whether he's elite, top five, whatever. I've seen the pictures he posts on Instagram, whatever. His body is elite. That dude is ripped like a super fucking villain. It's like he's on the, he should be an X-Man or something. So Dave, like, what do you think is, but besides Michael Thomas getting hurt, because
it's all that hand yoga.
Besides that, that would be the worst case scenario. But what's the scenario for the Saints receivers besides Michael Thomas not playing for a large stretch? What's a scenario that would worry you with the Saints at receiver or tight end that wouldn't involve injuries?
That wouldn't involve injuries.
Yeah, like what guy do you feel like besides Thomas that really needs to perform? Like, if what guy do you see if they struggle, you're like, oh boy, this is not good.
Probably Cameron Meredith. I mean, because, you know, like we just discussed, after Michael Thomas, you know, the drop off between to a healthy, good quality Cameron Meredith wouldn't be that drastic. It certainly would be existent, but it wouldn't be that drastic. But the drop off between Michael Thomas and, I guess, Ted Ginn is your next guy. I think there's more of a drop off there. You know, Cameron Meredith is a nice little, you know, gap wide receiver there. You know, I don't know, Brandon Coleman, I think a lot of us are probably disappointed with his performance last season after training camp and all the hype. And obviously the Saints didn't really show him any love in free agency. So, I mean, obviously it would be really great if Brandon Coleman could finally take that next step that we've all been waiting for. But in reality, and, you know, again, it would be bad news if he just continues to, I don't know, I guess just not be trusted by Peyton and Breeze.
Andrew, what scenario would worry you at receiver?
I mean, my expectations at tight end are already low. So if Ben Watson hits like the John Stinchcomb wall, you know, where he's basically just done. He plays one or two games and you're just like, okay, he doesn't have it anymore. He's falling apart. Then tight end is even bigger of a problem that I feared. Because then, you know, you're basically relying on Josh Hill and, you know, maybe this UDFA turns into something, but I mean, he could easily be garbage. You know, he could easily prove that he shouldn't have been drafted in the first place. And if that's the case, then to me, tight end's kind of like, it was bad last year.
Tight end was the worst it's ever been for the Saints last year. It snuck under the radar, but like tight end is the worst it's ever been under the Saints. And it was the worst it's ever been by a lot. Like it was a disaster, and we'd have noticed it more, except Kumar and Ingram and they were awesome and everything was fun. So we didn't really pick too much on like negative things. So no one really gave a shit that tight end was a dumpster fire. But it was kind of a dumpster fire last year, you know?
It was. Except for playoff Josh Hill.
Playoff Josh Hill is so good. I want playoff Josh Hill to be regular season Josh Hill. And then, Andrew, we can do we can go back to this podcast, and I can be right, and your prediction about the UDFA being the leading receiver, we can make fun of it. We can have our intern cut the tape, and it'll be phenomenal. So that wraps it up because we got the Jamerson interview to go. But final question for you guys, and then we'll get to the Jamerson interview. Dave, I'll ask you first. What is the one thing that you have to get done with your family before you say goodbye to them and football season starts?
I have to sell my house, buy my new house, and move. All in about 2 months, right when preseason starts.
Andrew, what do you have to do? What's the one thing you got to get done before football season kicks in and you ignore your family?
I mean, I need to finish building my house, but that's not going to be done before football season starts, unfortunately. So, it's going to be a hectic few. It's going to be a hectic September, really, a stressful one. Managing, you know, kind of 11th hour pedal to the metal with finishing that stuff.
Yeah.
And I put it to you this way, I'm really glad I'm not blogging anymore.
I have to get
like doing player grades in September would
oh
be
oh my god
I would kill me it would kill me
I have to get
and I say that because my wife would stab me
my wife
well my one thing that I want to get done before football season starts is I want to convince
my wife
to give up her horrible computer that overheats and practically burns her knees when she works on it. I want to convince her to get a new computer and transfer all her data onto it, and her life will be so much better. But she,
what is it with the Marlboro household computers?
I don't know. Well, her computer's old. I mean, it's old. It's missing keys. It's like I've been like trying to get her a new computer, and she just.
I wonder if there's something about your house. You know how like they say like environmental issues where like some people, if they live in a neighborhood, like they get cancer because there's like known carcinogens in the air.
Does like asbestos, does it ruin your lungs and your computers? Well,
no, I just wonder if there's like some environmental hazard that just ruins computers in your house.
I mean, her computer, it's not a bad computer. It's just old as fuck, you know? I mean, like a computer basically... You can get, like, what, like 3 years out of a computer? 4 years, right, Dave? And then you got to, like, move it along.
Unless it's Apple. Yeah, Apple computers last longer.
Oh, bullshit. My wife's Apple.
My wife.
Yeah. Her MacBook.
My wife. After, like,
2 years.
Look, we didn't do questions this week. I forgot to ask, but people had a shit ton of wide receiver and tight end questions last week, so I hope we got to them all. But anyway, so this ends this part of the podcast, and now the Natrell Jamerson interview, so enjoy that. We are pleased to be joined by Saints rookie defensive back and 2018 fifth-round draft pick Natrell Jamerson. Natrell, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Natrell, I gotta say, me and Andrew were doing research about you, and you have a really interesting pathway to the NFL and to college. You were from Ocala, Florida, and you played high school football. You were a great receiver, had over 40 touchdowns. You ended up in Wisconsin. How did that happen, and how did you explain to your family, hey, I'm going up to the cold in Wisconsin to play football?
Actually, I started getting recruited by Wisconsin because one of the coaches up at Wisconsin, they were looking at my teammate's highlight film. And when they saw me on his, it was like, who's this guy? So that's kind of how they started talking to me. And you know, once I threw my business up there and, you know, got around the team and, you know, got on the campus, you know, I loved it. So you know, I decided that's where I'm going to go. And tell my family that, huh?
No, I was going to keep going.
Telling my family that I was going way up there, it wasn't too hard because, for one, I wanted to get away. I wanted to get out and see the world. And at the same time, my mom, she wanted the same thing for me, so it was kind of easy.
Was the temperature different, though? Did they recruit you? Did you go visit in the summer, or did you sign right after you made your visit and they beat Indiana? Was it a culture shock, temperature shock when you went in and visited in November?
It definitely was. I went around like the weekend before Christmas, not Christmas, but the weekend before Thanksgiving. So it was a little cold, but it wasn't too cold. But know, they told me it gets cold out there, but nobody, you can't prepare for that type of cold, really.
How do you know PJ Williams? I know I read somewhere that, did you guys play high school ball together?
Yeah, we went to the same high school.
Okay.
And people in Louisiana think high school football is king in Louisiana and that sort of thing. People that aren't familiar with Florida and Miami, I have some relatives down there. High school football in Florida and specifically Miami, Natural, it's kind of bonkers and insane, right? It's not just a little thing. It's a huge event, right?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Playing football here in Florida is kind of easy around, especially if you're a skill position. Because as soon as your team is doing like the season, a lot of guys they do 7-on-7, and 7-on-7 is from January up, still going on now. But about the time 7-on-7 is over, where you back in, right back practicing with your team. So it's year round in Florida.
That's great, man. Well, you know, I think one thing that we're really interested about as Saints fans, you know, obviously any time there's only so much research you can do prior to the draft. And then obviously as some of these names come up as Saints fans, you're researching, you know, what's this guy all about. And, you know, obviously it's great to talk to you. I was excited to talk to you because a lot of times it's one thing to look at your stats and look at your comps and look at your combine numbers, but, you know, attaching a personality to it always makes it more fun. But, you know, speaking of your combine stuff, you know, I was kind of reading up on you and, you know, it seemed like, you know, obviously you're at 5'11 and change, maybe a little bit smaller of an NFL player. And you kind of come out of high school and, you know, you had really one school that made you a significant offer from a top flight program like Wisconsin. So you go there and you switch positions. You start at receiver, kick returner, and then you switch to corner. And then your senior season, you're playing safety. So you switch positions a lot. And then you kind of come into the combine and the write-up on you is that you're undersized and you've only had 1 year playing safety. And so, you know, right away, the thing that jumps out at me is that, okay, this guy has probably been told his whole life that he can't do it. And I'm sure that that's kind of contributed to you having a chip on your shoulder. But then you look at your combine numbers and it's clear. I mean, it's clear why you got drafted. I mean, 4.4 speed, you're ridiculously strong. I mean, your comp numbers for weightlifting are way above anyone else your size. So do you think that that's kind of the reason why you did so well at the combine is kind of that chip on your shoulder and maybe when you were younger, people telling you couldn't do this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, you know, kind of my whole life. You know, of course, I'm not the biggest, but, you know, once people see what I can do, you know, they're like, oh, wow, like, we didn't know these guys can do this or whatever the case may be. So, you know, I always had in the back of my mind that, you know, I know I'm not the tallest, biggest guy, but, you know, I can lift with anybody. I can run with anybody. I run most of them, so... yeah, I mean, I know my athletic ability backs me up regardless. So, you know, that I always had that kind of chip on my shoulder and that confidence with me.
When you went to the combine, were you like, I am going to kill this combine? These people, they have no idea what I'm about to do. And did you have that confidence going into the combine?
Yeah, I definitely did because, you know, the combine, you know, that. Even the whole week before it starts, you know, people are there hyping on the guys that, you know, that they expect to do so good and just blow out the combine, just ridiculous numbers. So, you know, that those few days we were there, you know, of course I wasn't getting all the attention that those guys were. Now I don't really care about the attention like that. But, you know, once we got on the field and way before we got on the field, we did the bench press. So, you know, guys talking about what they're going to do. You know, I'm just sitting there like, okay, yeah, we're going to see what actually happens. But, you know, we're out there killing the bench press. Then people are like, oh, like, okay. then once we got doing the field stuff, they're like, okay, yeah. Like, this guy, he knows what he's doing. Because me, I'm not the, you know what I'm saying, the loud person that's going to tell everybody what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do it. I'm just show you what I'm going to do. Then you just, you know, however you feel afterwards, that's on you.
Well, so, yeah, we've been doing this podcast for about a decade, Natrell, and Sean Payton's been the coach of the Saints the whole time, and you hear him talk about the draft process, and over the years, we've heard him say this a million times, just that, you know, you want to be really clear about your vision for a player, and when you select a player, you want to be really thinking about, okay, what role does he fit on the team, and When I'm curious what your take is on it. I mean, I think I see this pretty clearly. To me, it's pretty obvious when, first of all, you know, I've read a couple guys that have come out and said that, you know, Natrell Jamerson is the best special teams player in this whole draft. I've heard a couple of scouts and people make that statement. So, you know, obviously from a special teams aspect, you can kind of learn on the job and keep a roster spot, play on special teams while you kind of learn. So, you know, hopefully that's a path for you. But when with any receiver with your speed. And so to me, I look at your combine and I look at your write up. And to me, you have nickel or slot corner written all over you. And that feels, at least to me, as a non-football guy, is a clear vision for you. Have you talked to the Saints at all about what your role would be with the team or where they see you, or do you feel like that's where you might fit in?
So right now, you know, through rookie minicamp, OTAs, and the mandatory minicamp that just ended, I've been playing the outside corner.
Interesting.
So I know the nickel stuff, and you know, when we got meetings, you know, I pay attention to the corner, of course, and then I, you know, try to dial with nickel does as well. So, you know, when the time comes, I don't know if he throws me in that nickel, I know what I'm doing. So, he, like, when I talked to AG about it, he said he wants me to get the corner stuff down for right now because he knows I can play nickel a bit. But, you know, playing my whole senior year at safety, you know, he wants me to focus on getting the corner technique back down pat before I start, you know, focusing on playing nickel.
Natrell, as Andrew mentioned, you know, Todd McShay and I can't remember the other draft, they said you're the best special teams player in this draft. Besides just loving it and wanting to and giving 100% and being willing to play special teams, what in your mind makes you great at special teams? Why have you thrived so much at it?
Honestly, I don't know. I never really thought about that because, you know, ever since in college, freshman in college, I've been playing special teams, and you know, you see a lot of guys, they don't like playing special teams. They, you know, they get called special teams, they, oh, I don't want to do it, this and that. But every time I'm out there, you know, I take just as seriously playing defense, because I guess I've always had that mindset of, you know, I don't have to be the star on the team. As long as I'm on the team in the game, contributing any way, you know, that's what I want to do. So carrying that mindset over to now, you know, special teams in the NFL is just as important as offense and defense. You know, special teams can win or lose games. So, you know, I'm going to go out there and special teams do better than what I did in college, because you know, as far as teams, that's a way to stay on the team, really. So, you know, as long as I'm out there, like I said, contributing and playing, it can be offense, not offense, but defense or special teams, whichever one, you know, I contribute the most, you know, I'm gonna give them all.
Natrell, do you have any insight to give us about the Saints? So I don't know how much or if any tape that you watched from the Saints last year, but you know, one kind of common theme in their defense a lot of times is that they'll keep three safeties on the field during nickel and dime packages, you know, just to keep kind of better tacklers on the team, or, you know, more versatile players. And so what you saw a lot of times was that Kenny Vaccaro, Von Bell, and Marcus Williams would all be on the field at the same times, or sometimes it would be Raphael Bush or what have you. Is there something unique about the Saints defense in terms of this three safety look they have? Or is it really just one of the safeties is just being asked to play nickel?
Of course, I don't know what they did last year, but because I was on the team, I just, you know, whatever I saw, that's just what I saw. But I'm pretty sure it was just, you know, a safety playing nickel. I don't think it was just they wanted three safeties on the field at the time. It was probably more of that safety. She just playing nickel, so it looks like there's three safeties on the field. That's my guess on what happened.
So it's just an effort to get the best players on the field for the best roles. Makes sense.
Yeah, always. Yeah.
All right, Andrew, it's time to get to the important stuff. We talked about the football. Now it's time to get to the important stuff. Ask him the important. Start with the important questions. This is the key stuff.
All right, Nitrell, are you're a music fan? You like music?
Yeah, I like music.
You what are you into? Like rap music?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to show my age here, and I'm going to show how lame I am. But, you know, as a 37-year-old dad, I had never heard, you know, Post Malone, of course, right? You've heard of him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So, Ralph, have you ever heard of Post Malone?
I know Karl Malone. I have a 2.5-year-old child. I know.
You've never heard of Post Malone.
Never. I know. Dora the Explorer and Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round. That's what I know from YouTube.
Okay, so I had never heard of Post Malone either, but apparently, so, you know, and I'm trying to learn more about this because, you know, the people I hang out with are parents in their mid-30s, upper 30s, early 40s, and no one I talk to listens to Post Malone, but apparently this guy has broken a 50-year-old record by the Beatles for most songs in the top 20 currently.
So
he has nine of the top 20 songs. So, like, I'm trying to find out who even listens to this guy or likes him. Like, is that are you, Nitrell, are you the demographic? Like, do you like Post Malone, or is that like super lame for you?
No, I like Post Malone. Maybe I would say smooth, but his music isn't, you know, like off the top, like loud. His music is kind of laid back, and you know, he just hit a vibe to it. So I just recently downloaded his past album, but it's pretty smooth. I can listen to it.
Who would you say are like your kind of, what would you prefer to listen to?
So one is he's a Florida rapper out of Miami named Iceberg. Been a fan of his for a few years. Another one, Jeezy, you know, Jeezy.
Yeah, of course.
Boosie, of course, Louisiana. Who else I listen to?
Who's your pregame? What's your pregame music? What's your pregame music? It's week one. The Saints are playing Tampa. You're stretching. You're getting ready before kickoff. The crowd's starting to fill in. Who are you listening to on the headphones?
I don't know. I still gotta find it, but it'll probably be either something from Lil Boosie or his rapper named Key Glock out of I think Memphis. So I don't know. I still gotta find that one song.
So Ralph has never heard of Post Malone. Nitrell, have you heard of the Beatles? You know who the Beatles are?
Yeah, he's
one step ahead of us, man.
He is.
Multi-generational.
I feel old. I feel old every day at work because the 20-somethings in the marketing department, they don't know things. I'm like, how can you not know that? So, Nitrell, this got me super excited. Me and Andrew doing research. He said your favorite go-to restaurant is Potbelly. Is this correct?
Yeah.
All right. I am a Potbelly connoisseur. I go there 3 times a week. What is your go-to sandwich? Mine is off the menu. I go buffalo chicken, extra hot sauce, extra peppers. What do you do on the Potbelly menu? What's the go-to?
Oh, I got two of them. One is the pizza sandwich, and the other one is the grilled chicken and cheddar.
Oh, that's good. See, Potbelly's phenomenal. They know me by name, and I know the word. Denise knows what I want. I just go in there, and she just makes it. I don't even have to say it. So, Andrew, what do you have to? What do you?
Well, what about New Orleans? Have you had any? Have you gone to any restaurants in New Orleans yet, or do you have a favorite so far?
Honestly, I haven't been to any traditional New Orleans restaurants. I never had Cane's before until I got out there.
Oh, wow. Cane's good.
What'd you think?
It's all right. It's not. I think some people may have hyped it up, but it's not all that. I definitely eat it. But
it's like In-N-Out, man. You know, the hype is incredible.
I don't know. In-N-Out kind of good now. In-N-Out kind of good. But, yeah.
In-N-Out's good.
Eat that.
Well, what about you? Are you a Madden player?
No, I don't play Madden. I got a PlayStation. I barely play it, so
okay.
I'm not really good at
the game. The reason I ask is Alvin Kamara tweeted EA Sports today, and it was either today or yesterday, and he was unhappy with his accessories. And you know, he wears the tape down his forearm and above his elbow, and the Madden, I guess the game just didn't have the tape accessory on his Madden, guy or whatever. So I'm curious, are you going to tweet EA Sports in a couple of years? Is there a specific look or a signature style to your game day that kind of distinguishes you from other players?
I haven't really found it yet because, you know, in the field, you know, you got uniform policies and stuff.
Right.
But, in practice, you don't. So in practice, I didn't know how to do in cars. I don't know why I haven't been wearing a hoodie in practice. Probably because it's hot. But instead of like long socks, I usually put two sleeves on my legs and just rock low cut socks. So that's why he's doing college. I can't do that in the games and in the field no more. That's fine. But I don't know yet. I still gotta play around and see what I like.
All right. So Natrell, I don't know how familiar you are with Saints history, but the Saints have a very illustrious history, I think, of like touchdown celebrations. They had Joe Horn back in the day with the cell phone. When he scored, he pulled it out. They had Andrew. They had Lance Moore. He did maybe the most famous.
The Hingle Mickerberry.
Yeah. So like Sean Payton, if you're good and you perform in the field, like Sean Payton will let you express your personality and let you have fun.
You got Jimmy Graham with the goalpost dunk.
Goalpost dunk, right? So yeah. Natrell, do you have your touchdown celebration when you run back a kickoff for the Saints? Do you however you score touchdowns? Do you have it ready so you can go viral, so it can be on SportsCenter, so it can be on Twitter, so it can be on Instagram, and it can take over the whole world? Is your touchdown celebration, is it ready?
I think it is ready.
Yes.
It is. Yeah.
You're not going to tell us anything? You're going to surprise us?
Yeah, I'm going to be a surprise. It's nothing too off the top or crazy, nothing like that,
But you're prepared.
Yeah, I'm prepared. Okay. Yeah.
All right, well, one thing that's huge, and we're going to teach you a little something about now that you're a member of the Saints, it's really important that you there's just rule number one. There's one rule as a player for the Saints or a fan, and that's you got to hate the Falcons. It's a rule that, you know, once you're in black and gold, fleur-de-lis, we hate the Falcons. So, you know, we got to give you a quick boot camp on Falcons hatred. So I'm just going to ask you, which player right now are you most looking forward to hitting in the league?
On Falcons?
No, just in the league. Yep.
Hello? Hello.
All I got. So.
Not bad. I mean, we were looking for Julio Jones. but we'll accept that answer. All right, next question. Which quarterback are you most – do you most want to intercept?
Matt Ryan, of course.
Yes. He's getting it.
Yeah.
You're getting it.
Yeah.
All right. Last question. Which stadium do you most want to win in besides the Superdome?
The Falcon Stadium.
Yeah.
He's got it, man.
Yes.
Plus.
Yes. You need to maybe have like Matt Ryan getting sacked, like put that as a screensaver on your phone to like get you really fired up, but you are on your way. That's a way to just really say bad things about Atlanta. It's a way to Saints fans' hearts.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
More seriously, are there any players, Natrell, in the league, either friends of yours or just guys that you're really looking forward to playing against? Any, like, maybe childhood heroes, anything like that?
I would say right now Antonio Brown, because he probably is the best receiver in the league. So they say, just everybody really, because I'm new to this NFL life. So for the longest, not just been watching guys on TV and just kind of putting myself in their place or against them, saying what I would do in so and so situation. And now I have the opportunity to actually be in that situation. So honestly, I'm taking every opponent, every opportunity I got, and just learning from it, enjoying it. Like I said, it's all new to me, and I'm not going to sit and idolize another player when my goal is to beat them on the field. So I'm looking forward to playing everybody.
Well, the Steelers, December 23rd on the Saints schedule. So Antonio Brown this year, it's on the schedule. It's possible. It could happen.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Natrell, thanks for joining us. I want you to remember us when you are all pro, all world, and on the cover of Madden. Remember the little people when you were just a draft pick. And just remember us. We don't need it. We don't need a shout out. But just keep us in your mind. So, Guy, thanks for joining us. We appreciate the time. It's been a lot of fun. And good luck this year. We're rooting for you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, man. I enjoyed it.